This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm your host, Kerry Lutz. It's 7/28/23, show 513. And what a week, Nick.
Yeah, what a week, Kerry. This morning, we got that highly anticipated PCE number. Apparently, was slightly better than expected. This is supposedly the Fed's favorite indicator for inflation. And at the moment, the markets are higher and they're rallying after a big reversal sell-off yesterday. So, you know, just goes to show you, it's like a weeble wobble. The markets go down one day and then right back up the next. And another Goldilocks number, I suppose, here from this PCE.
Yep. And who the heck knows? You know, there was so much stuff that happened yesterday. The BOJ release that they said was a fake tweet, but turned out to be real.
Yeah, that was pretty wild news. I saw that on my newswire really right before 1:30, and the market really tanked on the news. And basically, you know, the Bank of Japan said they're possibly going to change their yield curve control policy. I mean, talk about, you know, putting a lot of pressure on people, right? That basically will change the whole carry trade that's going on, and that will take liquidity out of the system. And really, that's about it. But when it was all said and done, the Bank of Japan left the policy rate unchanged, but they surprised a little bit with a little slight tweak to their yield control, yield curve control policy, saying they're going to allow greater flexibility, allowing the 10-year JGBs, the yield to rise up to 1%, meanwhile maintaining a target at 0.5%. So, you know, the market shrugged it off today, but yesterday the market really panicked over that. And that just shows you how fragile this rally is. I mean, this rally is like a deck of, like a house of cards here. You know, you could just see when something comes out, this market is ready to just go into sell mode. It's really rather remarkable.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, you know, I guess they discounted the effect on the carry trade. Can you just explain what the carry trade is? Because I know many of you out there aren't really familiar with it.
Yeah, so basically, you get to borrow cheaply from Japan, and you get to buy equities elsewhere. And that's really, in essence, what it is. And if that changes, then, you know, you're going to have a lot of problems. So, if you know, it all goes back to the currency world. And the currency world has been pretty wild lately. But if you take a look at the dollar going against the Japanese yen, basically, say, since the beginning of the year, it has really... You know, the dollar has really strengthened against the yen. Right now we're at 140. We got to 145. But what you'll notice is that if you lose that carry trade, that just takes liquidity out of the system. And that's all this business is about. It doesn't matter what anybody wants to talk about, what anybody wants to say, how great the economy is, how great the earnings are from Google. It's all about liquidity. And we also noticed, Kerry, to talk about that, is if you take a look at March, when we had the banking crisis, the market bottomed on March 13th, and then it's been rallying ever since because of the of what happened with the Fed. The Fed basically came in with a lot of cash, threw it at the banks, and made a special deal with other central banks that they'll provide liquidity for each other. So right then and there, even though it's not called quantitative easing, it's a type of quantitative easing, and the markets go up from that point on. And that's why we have this rally. Meanwhile, everybody, you know, now is talking about how great the economy is. You got the president on the TV calling himself, you know, Bidenomics. I mean, you know, this is incredible, but it's all about liquidity in the system. Liquidity gets withdrawn, the stock market goes out. Hence what we saw in January 2022, how the market fell all the way down into October.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to inject a question here from one of our members there. Her name is Janice, and she wanted to know about the BRICS coming together to create this supposed gold-backed currency. I'll just give you my take on it. China is about as close to an economic collapse as they could possibly be. Their entire real estate market has imploded, and the banks are left holding the bag. If they go and they print as much yuan as necessary to actually bail out the banking sector and the housing sector, they'll have a hyperinflation. So this obviously to me and the rest of the BRICS are no better off than India. So this is a way of them trying to put their best foot forward and make it look like they're challenging the dollar. But in reality, they know that their own homegrown currencies are about to implode, and this is their response.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you see this quite a bit coming from China over and over, right? So we know how their economy is basically based on exports. And, you know, they don't have a good internal, like the U.S. can survive because the consumer here is always buying stuff, right? Whether they're buying it on credit, that's not the case in Asia in general, right? People are very conservative. They're very frugal with their money. So China relies on exports. But what we've seen here is every time the stock market was, you know, under some real big pressure just not that long ago. If you just go back to the 24th of this month, you know, a week ago, it was really under pressure and looked like it was going to come down sharply. And then China came out and said, hey, we're going to support our real estate market. We're going to, you know, go easy money policy again. And then, you know, you got a little boost up in the stock market. But, you know, all of these markets, especially China, you know, they have to continually support the markets there with easy policy. And that's been the name of the game, you know, really since 2009 when we had the financial crisis. I know a lot of people think that's, you know, that ship has sailed, but it really has not sailed. It never went away. No, and it's never going to go away until the whole thing implodes. And, you know, we probably have some time for that. I don't think it happens tomorrow, but you know, you can see the writing on the wall that there's going to be a day of reckoning where this whole system is cooked.
Yeah, you can see it. And that's the BRICS response. It's not an outright challenge to the dollar because who knows how much gold. China's, I'm sure, has way more gold than any other country in the world, but they have way more people and they've printed way more money than any other country in history. And, you know, their real estate market, there's nothing they can do about it because now they've got mass mortgage defaults, you know, basically strategic defaulters. These people learned from the United States during our foreclosure crisis, and they've just stopped paying. And then the real estate companies were, it was a Ponzi scheme. They were getting deposits, and the deposits, they didn't use them to build the housing that was placed upon. They use that for other projects. And, you know, States, when you put down a deposit on a new home, it's in escrow. The builder cannot touch it until predetermined points, progress payments, if that's allowed in the state or on closing. But in China, it's the Wild West of real estate.
Yeah. And you have ghost cities there too, right? We have so many cities that were built and there's nobody even living in them. Yeah. They're falling by the wayside. They actually are taking some of those buildings down. I mean, you know, you can't make this stuff up. It's really an upside down world. And it's not just here in the United States, it's globally. But, you know, eventually we're going to see, you know, a system that is just unsustainable. Now that could be, you know, 5, 8, 10 years down the road, but it's all going to be
unsustainable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then they have this tofu dreg construction, or they call them rotten tail projects. And these places just fall down, Nick. Like, hey, we have a occasional building collapse in the United States, but it is exceedingly rare. But in China, it's an everyday occurrence. That just a school collapsed and the whole soccer team got killed. And there's outrage about it. And they're showing, like, they go into a building, a high rise, and they're doing the fire inspection and they have the hose there and they turn the valve and nothing happens because they never bothered to connect it. And, you know, and they have these high-rise fires there that just take out buildings or floors. And, you know, we'll have high-rise fires on occasion. It's rare that an entire structure is destroyed by a high-rise fire, but not so rare in China. So all these things are coming, you know, this is a show on YouTube. What's it called? The China Show or something like that. And these guys have ridden around the country in motorcycles documenting all of this. And he calls it the land of facades and shortcuts.
Well, I have to say, I think that's what it is. And, you know, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. We know that their real estate market, you know, is just in shambles at this stage of the game. But, you know, they're going back to the same playbook as we go to here. And that's just, you know, create money and throw it at the problem and hope it rebounds. Just remember, it wasn't that long ago where you had that company, China Evergrande.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that was, you know, supposed to go by the wayside. And then, you know, they've come back quite a bit because of the bailout. So
I thought
you know,
they were shutting down.
Yeah, but I believe they're still going strong right now, and they've made a big rebound. So, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, money printing is everything, right? That's just the name of the game. And, you know, at some point, I just think it's just a house of cards, and it all comes down. I just can't understand, you know, for the life of me, how long it can last. But, you know, like I said, I put a timeline on it. I'd say, you know, probably 8 to 10 years.
All right. Well, hey, enjoy those 8 to 10 years. They'll be the best ones you have. Hey, when you got unbridled money printing, you have unbridled governmental corruption, too. That's something that the two go hand in hand. It just facilitates everything.
That's without a doubt. That's without a doubt.
All right. So earnings, what's going on in the earnings front? How have they been so far? The market seems to be happy with the numbers coming in for the most part.
Yeah, we've had a few blowups and we've had some real positive reactions too. So the market seems to have balanced itself out. I would say more positive reactions than negative reactions. But, you know, I'll give you a good example of it. You know, the other day we had Microsoft down pretty sizable and Google was up, you know, pretty sizable. See how they balance each other out? Today you had two solar companies, Enphase, which is down about 10%. And then you have First Solar, you know, which was up big at the open. Now it's flat. So, you know, you get these some blowups and then some real positive reactions. But I would say overall, it's been better than the reactions have been better than most have expected, or at least less negative blowups than what I would have anticipated. So that's a little bit of a positive for this so far. Now, we still got, you know, the big ones coming up, Kerry, Apple next week, as well as Amazon. And I believe Apple is going to be the more important of the two. And that one should be watched closely by every market participant because, you know, Apple's at an all-time high now. And, you know, this is a stock that has defied gravity for quite a while. And, you know, I guess they're curing cancer now. I don't even know what they're doing. But stock at an all-time high. And we'll see how it reacts after this earnings number.
All right. Hey, it's at $3 trillion market cap, over $3 trillion. And that's a big number. You know, the law of big numbers. Right.
Bigger than a lot of economies out there, right? So it's an incredible company with a huge, humongous market cap at this stage of the game. But, you know, these stocks, people think they can never go down. I would be very careful with Apple up here.
Yeah, we've heard that one before. The Nifty 50, one decision stocks, you buy, hold for life, and you retire wealthy. And that didn't work out too good. Stocks like Kodak and Xerox, they don't exist anymore.
That's right. You know, if you look at Xerox stock price, right, and they were the, you know, all these guys stole from Xerox, right? Microsoft and Apple, they all took Xerox technology. And here Xerox is a $16 company, you know, at this point in time. And
if
you
go back,
no, they're still around. You know, they still licensed out some technology. But go back to 99, you know, Xerox was 100 and, you know, basically 170, right? So it's incredible.
We're a big customer of them and my printing company. You know, these machines, high speed copiers, they were $120,000 machines. And we had, you know, a bunch of them laying around the place. And they kept doing these things that were like irrational, because you paid Xerox by the click, meaning every copy that you made on the machine, in addition to your monthly leasing fees and supplies and consumables and service, you paid them per click. And they would make these unbelievable things that made it, it made it irrational to hold on to your old equipment and not trade up for the new equipment. And it was all smoke and mirrors, you know?
Yeah. Good business model while it lasted, though, I have to say.
Well, sales always went up. I don't know how they, I don't know what they did with the old machines. They probably sent them to India and the third world, and they were happy to get them. But that model ran out of steam, and that's that. So, hey, gold got totally slammed yesterday, and silver too, I might add. Silver started the day at over 25 and ended like right at 24. I mean, it was a huge drop for silver. And gold was also slammed. And now today, what a difference a day makes, huh?
What a difference a day makes. Yeah, gold is snapping back. It's up about 0.8% right now. And silver also getting a little bit of a bid, but to a lesser degree. But yesterday, both got hammered to the downside. Those were big moves yesterday, and it was significant because they took out the near-term pivot. And so, you know, we'll see where they finish up today, but both are getting a bid today, and that's a bit of a positive. You got to remember yesterday, too, the dollar was soaring yesterday. The dollar just spiked up above 101.50, and today the dollar is pulling back a little bit, down about 0.3%, which is a decent decline for the dollar index. So, you know, we still got that correlation going on where gold and the dollar are trading opposite to each other, at least at this point in time. And it's going to be interesting to see how the pattern plays out. But one thing I want to say about gold, we talked about on the program that 1985 resistance level. And again, it looked like yesterday at the high of the session, gold was going to try to challenge that, and it got rejected there. And it just you know, proves the technicals, how the technicals are so important.
So true. Hey, Bitcoin up a little bit, still under 30K though.
Yeah. Bitcoin right now. So there's a tale of two tapes here. If you're looking at Bitcoin at the moment, today having an okay day, up a little bit more, under just under 30K, but up 1%. The daily chart looks horrible. It doesn't look very good. But I will tell you, if you go, anybody looks at Bitcoin futures, look at the weekly chart. The weekly chart is still very constructive for more upside. So that is, while I'll still have faith that Bitcoin can make another rise higher, but the weekly chart falls apart, this thing is cooked. Right now, the weekly chart looks good, and I'll give it its due for now.
All right. Well, I closed out my position, made 20-30% on it in a matter of like a month or so.
That's a great gain, right?
Yeah. Just auto buying it. You know, I didn't, because if I think about whether I should buy it or not, I won't buy it. So I set it for auto and accumulated and then dumped. So, hey, for what it's worth, right?
That's the way to do it with that right now. Because, you know, when you think about everything that is going on in the crypto world, and, you know, we could talk about it to a blue in the face with all of these crypto exchanges, who's getting arrested, which crypto influencer is getting killed. I think another guy the other day, you know, was found in a suitcase, chopped up. I mean, this is crazy stuff. So, you know, you just have to, you know, just go through these charts and you navigate that way. But, you know, what's to say? What's going to come next? That's the big wild card, right? What news item we're going to hear next?
I have no idea, but something's afoot there. And, They're just not going to leave it alone and let it wreak havoc on the system, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you just go back and, you know, listen, it's an asset that's tradable these days. And if you find good levels, you trade it. That's a really, I would just tell people, you know, I see people just putting, you know, their whole life into this thing. And, you know, for me, I guess they could say the same about me because I have a belief in precious metals. But I think the history of precious metals has been around a lot longer, and I'll go with that track record over anything else.
Agreed. Totally agree with you. And that is it for today. That's it for this week. And make sure you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com. See how he's beaten the averages for decades, and his trading record is out there for you to see. And while you're at it, check out the Twitter feeds at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. Emails welcome, KL at KerryLutz.com. We got a bunch of questions sitting in the hopper that we will try to get to as soon as possible. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, Nick.
Have a great weekend, Kerry.